Wait, sorry. Do you mean Joseph Baruch is getting married?
Yosef Chaim is his name right now.
Marshall, you had to put that at the beginning of the recording. I'll edit it out later before it gets posted.
Wow, that's all tough. That's okay. News.
Thank
anyway,
you.
So we left off last week, Adaf Chesem and Aleph, and we were at the bottom, second line from the bottom. And the Gemara tells a very interesting story here. The Gemara says, Rav Sheshes, who was an Amora, Mehader Ape Vigoris. He would, during Kriyas HaTorah, the last line that we read last week was talking about leaving shul when the Sefer Torah is open. And the Gemara said, you can leave Ben Gavra Lagavra, but Ben Psuka Lepsuka, between one Pasuk and the other, which some say was only relevant in their times because they had a Meturgamon. So the Balkriya read a Pasuk, but then you had this interlude of someone reading the translation in Aramaic, and therefore you could talk about going out between Pasuk and Pasuk. Today, maybe you can't do that because not enough time between Pasuk and Pasuk. But in light of that, the Gemara says, during Kriyas HaTorah, Rav Sheshes would turn around, he would head back to the Sefer Torah, Vigaris, and he would learn. Now, probably, obviously, in those days, he wasn't learning out of a Sefer, he's learning Torah Shabbat Peh, which means he was reciting, not clear how loud or not, that's one of the things we'll talk about. He was reciting whatever he was learning, his Mishnayos, Braises, presumably that's what he was reciting. I presume he wasn't learning Gemara because there was no Gemara yet. But he was learning Mishnayos, he was learning Braises, he was going over maybe some early Maimers of the Amoraim, of his predecessors, Rav and Shmuel, etc. So then, what was Rav Sheshes' justification? He said, Amar, anan bididan, v'inu biditu. And it's not clear what the we means here. But we are engaged with our stuff, bididan, bishelonu, v'inu, and the rest of the tzibur is biditu bishelohem. Now, it's a little bit, forgetting about who anan, exactly what that means here, it is a little odd. What it presumably bididan refers to is Torah Shebal Peh. And Bididhu, theirs, is what they're reading now, refers to Torah Shebchsav, which is a little bit odd on the surface because presumably everybody in that Sibur subscribes to two Torahs, Torah Shebchsav and Torah Shebchsav. Why would Rav Sheshes say that the Torah Shebchsav is Didhu and Torah Shebchsav is Didan? So we're going to talk about that. But before we talk about exactly what Rav Sheshes' statement was, there is a problem. The problem is found in a Gemara that I'm going to share with you. It's from Maseches Sota. So I'm going to share my Bar Ilan. And one moment. And the Gemara in Sota says the following. The Gemara says, and I'm reading now on the third line, and where I sort of am having the mouse circle. Amar Rava Barav Huna. Kevan sheniftach sefer Torah. Once the sefer Torah has been opened, asur l'saper afilu bedvar halacha. You're not allowed to speak even in a matter of halacha. Shenemar. And they quote a pasuk. The first time probably the actual reading of the Torah is described as happening in Tanakh. Uvifascho amdu kol ha'am. And when he opened it, Amdu kala am, the people all stood. Ve'ein amida ela shtika. And the word amida doesn't refer to physically standing, but rather refers to silence. Shenemar ve'hochalti ki lo yedaberu ki amdu lo anu od. The pasuk in Eov, what it means, ki amdu, means they stopped. They stopped talking. These were probably Eov's friends. So ki amdu lo anu od. So you see that amdu doesn't necessarily mean physically standing, but it means in this context to stop talking. So when they open the Sefer Torah, they stop talking. That is one source that's quoted. Now, by the way, if I were to stop here, and there is actually machlokas and Shulchan Aruch that we will take a look at, are you supposed to stand during Kriyas HaTorah? So when you first look at the pasuk in Nehemiah, if you read it without the Gemara, you would say, yeah. Because it says, "Ufascho amdu kala am." They all stood up. So when they read from the Sefer Torah, you're supposed to stand. But the Gemara says, "Amida doesn't refer to standing. It refers to silence. In which case, there's no obligation to stand." Then the Gemara quotes another pasuk to demonstrate that a person is supposed to be, that is usher to talk when they're laning. Rabbi Zeira amar Rav Chista mehacha, from a different source. The same story. The oznei kol ha'am El Sefer HaTorah, that the ears of the people were all directed to the Torah, to the Kriyas HaTorah. So it's impossible to be talking at the same time to be listening. So therefore, the fact that it was Va'aznei Kalam El Sefer HaTorah teaches you when the Sefer Torah is open, you are not allowed to talk. So we're going to come back to our Gemara for a second. So this is the question that bothers all the Rishonim. There are a whole bunch of different answers to explain or to justify Rabbi Sheshis's behavior, which is presumed to be permissible. But all of them have to take into account the Gemara in Sota, which says that you're not allowed to talk when the Sefer Torah is open. So let's firstly take a quick look at our Tosfos. And our Tosfos says the following. The Tosfos is on top of Chesamet Aleph. Rav Sheshes Mahader Ape Vigaris. So the In Tomar Tosfos says, V'ha Amrinan B'Sota, My dichsiv uchifascho amdu kala am, kevan shenitach sefer Torah asal esaper afil b'dvar alacha. So Tosis quotes the Gemara in Sota and says, how could Rav Sheshes do this? It does not seem to be proper. So the first answer Tosis quotes, v'yesh lomar, hasam aire b'kol ram. Now, when you're not allowed to talk, it means you're not allowed to talk in a voice that people can hear, kidei shlo yivatlu kol kriyas haTorah. That you don't want, you're gonna make it impossible to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. V'hocha, but in our Gemara, when Rav Sheshes was Mahadar Ape Vigaris, Ayri Benachas, he did very quietly. Nobody could hear him. Maybe that's even why he turned his head the other way. So the first teretz that Tosus gives, which I don't know rabbi likes this teretz, because now the Balabatim are going to say, oh, it's okay to talk in shul during Kriyas HaTorah, as long as you talk quietly. No, okay, no, this is not accepted, la locha. It is all the other answers, I should add, all the other answers, whatever the permission to learn might be for Rav Sheshes, all of them assume, of course you're quiet. That's a given. But just because you're quiet, just because it's benachas, doesn't mean that conversation is necessarily permitted, nor that learning is necessarily permitted.
Can I read it?
Yes, Sam.
It says Rav Sheshes Mahadar Ape Vigaris. It doesn't say he was talking. There's only Rav Sheshes. Who's he talking to? There's only Rav Sheshes there.
So I think it's clear, however you understand what Rav Sheshes was doing, firstly, the way you used to learn Torah Shebaal Peh was by speaking it. It wasn't silent thought. If Rav Sheshes was sitting there silently, not even having any words come out of his mouth, what was the point of turning around there? How does the Gemara even know he was
talking? Let's start with the words, not with what he must have likely have been done.
So it I'm says, telling you, Goris, Girsa, it refers to something written or spoken. But more importantly, how would the Gemara know he was learning, Sam, if he wasn't talking? It's impossible. Look at me now. All right, they're reading Kriyas HaTorah.
They spoke to him afterwards and said, why did you turn your head away? The good question is, the real question is, no, the question against what I'm saying is, you didn't talk, so what's the problem? No, there would be no problem then.
So, Sam, the word Goris, I'll give you an example. The Gemara in Shabbos.
I'm supporting what you're saying. Hello. I'm supporting what you're saying. I'm saying what I'm saying doesn't make sense. Otherwise, why would he have to turn away?
Right. Okay. Fine. So we agree. So the question, so it's a given, even though this Teretz and Tosus would suggest that it's okay to even talk, Dvarim Batalim, while they're laying, as long as you do it quietly, so that Teretz will not stand. It's a given based upon, within all the other answers, that a person has to be silent. That's a given. But the question is another person allowed to learn or under what circumstances? So then Tosa says, Vahai deka mahader ape, revusa mashma, afagav de mahader ape, shenira kemeniach sefer Torah, shapir dami. So the starting point is that the chiddush of the Gemara is, if you're not disturbing anybody, what would the problem be? So, and why does he turn around? The answer is, even though it looks like he's turning his back on the sefer Torah, it's not a problem. He's quiet. And why did he turn his back? But he turned it. It was hard for him to be facing the Sefer Torah, see everything that's going on, and to focus on what he was learning. Okay. That's the first Teretz Tosus gives. But then Tosus says the following. Rav Alphus Kosav, the halot. Now, there are two riffs here, by the way. In fact, one of the very interesting things that I noticed, and I like to point these out when they happen, probably it's been a while since I noted this. On the left side of the page, on the outside of the page, there is the commentary called the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, which was pointed out in the past is a it's a footnoting service which tells you where the Gemara is quoted in three different halacha svarim, in the Rambam, in the Turin Shulchan Aruch, and in the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gedolos for Moshe Mikusi. Now, the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, as a general rule, doesn't tell you where the Rif quotes the halacha, because as a general rule, you know where the Rif quotes the halacha. Go to the back of this Gemara, because the Rif is basically just an abridgment of the Gemara, cutting out most of the materials. But in this particular case, the Rif appears in two places. One happens to be in our Gemara, but if you look in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, in letter, it's Lamed Dalid is the big number, and Ches is the small number. So he tells you Maimon Yisham, that's the Rambam, wherever the last one, that's Ibid, Smag Sham, Tur V'Shulchan Aruch Sham Stif Beis, and then in brackets, he adds in Rav Alphas Khan, the Rif here, Ube Perak HaKoreis HaMegillah Daf Rei Shayin Gimel. The Rif is found in two places, and this is not just so one can show one's Bekias, but it happens to be the Rif in Megillah quotes two reasons. The Rif here only quotes one of them. So Tosfos happens to quote from the Rif in Megillah, and the Rif in the, he says, Rav Alphas Kosav, the halachos gidolos mefarshi, dafka sheyesham asara acharini, oz yochol lomod. Aval ein sham asara ki im imol lo. So the Bahag says that the prohibition of learning would only apply, and presumably the prohibition of talking and learning, let's say, maybe quietly, would only apply when there are already 10 people paying attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. But if you don't have 10 people paying attention, you're one of 10 people, so then you in order for the Kriyas HaTorah to be done properly, you are obligated to actually participate. Now, one of the things that this Bahag points to, this Halachos Gedolos points to, is an idea that I think the Ramban has in his Sefer Milchamos Hashem in Megillah, which is, according to the Ramban, there's a fundamental difference between Kriyas HaMegillah and Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaMegillah is an obligation upon every single person to read the Megillah. And when you go and you hear the Shliach Tzibur, the Baal Kori, read in the Tzibur, in effect, you're Yotzei through his reading with the principle of Shomea Ka'oneh. That's what Kriyas HaMegillah is, but it's a Chovas HaYochid. I have to hear Megillah, whether there's a minion, whether there's not a minion, about someone else can be motzi me, but fundamentally it's my obligation to hear it. If I couldn't make it to shul, but everybody else read it and there was a public reading, I still have to hear Kriyas HaMegillah. Not so the Ramban says when it comes to Sefer Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas hatzibur. It's not an obligation upon the individual. In fact, the very next line in the Gemara is, I like to say to people that the obligation of Kriyas HaTorah upon an individual, one of my favorite topics, is Shnai Mikravecha Targum. The way most Rishonim understand it, that's the Yochid's obligation to Kriyas HaTorah. But the Kriyas HaTorah done in a Sefer Torah and a Tzibur, that's the obligation of the Tzibur. If I, for some reason, didn't make it to Minyan, or I had to leave early, whatever it was, then I'm not obligated to go hear Kriyas HaTorah, because it's not my obligation as a Yochid, it's an obligation upon my Tzibur that the Kriyas HaTorah be read. That's the obligation. So the Halachos Gedolos' distinction, in a sense, makes sense. In that, if it were an obligation upon the Yachid to hear Kriyas HaTorah, to read Kriyas HaTorah, so how can I possibly be learning during Kriyas HaTorah? I'm not paying attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. But if it's an obligation of the Tzibur, so once the Tzibur, once my Tzibur is fulfilling the obligation, so now I want to go learn the Daf Yomi, okay, it's not the end of the world. That was the Halachos Gedolos' understanding of how to resolve this Gemara and the Gemara in Sota.
Are there any other activities like that?
I'm sorry?
Do we have any other activities where a person, we just need a tzibur and an individual could turn away from the tzibur? Other than Kriyas HaTorah, is there any other similar activities?
I'm trying to think, do I know of any other examples? Nothing that comes to my mind off the top of my head.
Thank you.
Rabbi, Bismaneinu B'Yes Karuna, for those of us who don't have a minion in our area, how do you become part of a tzibur that's not so that you...
That's a question that I've wondered about a lot. You know, if we manage somehow, we have a chance, an outside chance, we procure a safer Torah the Shabbos. So for one of the things that we have to have a discussion with our minion is, how much Kriyas HaTorah are we doing the Shabbos? If it were left up to me, I'd have a 3-hour Kriyas HaTorah and do all the catching up that we missed. But then the question becomes, in other words, let's say I don't know. Let's say most of our minyan, not all of it, I think most of it, belongs to one particular shul. Does everybody else, now that a group of people from Congregation Minat Yisrael have made up all the Kriyas HaTorah, does the rest of the shul have to hear? Like, it would be clear to me, I think, that if Minat Yisrael had a minyan inside the shul, and they read all the Kriyas HaTorah, and I wasn't there, that I don't have to read at that point. So, these things aren't well worked out in halacha, because my sense is, I could be wrong, but certainly in the medieval world, this might not have been true in Eastern Europe, but in the medieval world, in Ashkenaz, communities were tiny. It probably was very rare that there was ever more than one shul in a place. Where Rashi and Rabbi Tam lived, you see this in Chuvos, right? The Shulchan Aruch and talking about Tziruf of a minyan, the simon that deals with that in Aruch Chaim, and how you combine to a minyan, which is obviously very relevant to the contemporary times, you know, with balconies and so on. So I think it's in the last sif in that simon, the Mechaber says the following. He says that if you're leaving town for Yom Yerayim and they're not going to have a minyan, you have to hire someone to take your place. Right? Now, for us, that's kind of inconceivable. If there's one day a year that you never have a problem making a minyan, it's going to be Yom Yerayim. But the point is, they lived in a community where you literally might have only had 10 males. So that's very hard for us to imagine. The Upper East Side and Teaneck and Bergenfield, you have how many shuls, and you could make 10 times more shuls and so on. So it's hard to know, but the Rishonim therefore aren't really talking about, and I'm not saying it doesn't exist at all, multiple tzibros within one community. So I don't know how you factor that in. If one shul in Teaneck, if Congregation Minat Yisrael, this Shabbos, read all the parshas, could all of Teaneck be Yotzi that way? You know, what if you cross the Bergenfield border, right? It's invisible. I don't know.
Rabbi Leader.
Yes.
I thought, because we've been talking about this a little bit up here also, I thought somebody like Rav Schechter or somebody, Paskin, that the idea that you have to make up all the misparshiot has actually sort of been vitiated by just the sheer number of parshiot that we have in front of us and the impracticality. Is that not correct, or is that not something you've heard?
So I read one of Rav Schechter's early tshuvas on the matter. On the issue itself, Bikitzur, the Mishnah Brura thinks that you only need to make, that you only can, it's only relevant to make up the previous parsha, Shabbos's parsha. Many Acharon don't agree with that, and it's a position there. Hashulchan, I think, disagrees with the Brura. He thinks that the correct position is that whatever you missed, you make up. And certainly, if we want to celebrate Simchas Torah the way we do, it doesn't make sense to do so if we haven't, made up the Kriyas HaTorah. What Rav Schechter has suggested, I don't know if he's written a tshuva more recently, but what he suggested, and again, this was being written, I grant you, the tshuva was probably written 8 or 9 weeks ago, really when we started, is that what you could do is, you could read from, probably 2 Sefer Torah, and what he suggested, I think, was every Shabbos, make up a parsha, read that as the maftir. I think that's what he wrote in the tshuva. So you read 7 regular aliyos, and then, because it's too much for people to go read everything, and then go read one parsha, a whole parsha, as the maftir for that week. So it'll add 20 minutes or something like that, and you make it up over weeks. As we're getting closer to, the Yom Tov season, that option, the clock may be running down and we're running out of time out. So if you ask, again, this is just my personal style, you should appreciate this, Marshall. It's kind of like a marathon. And it just, take out the Sefer Torah, make sure people have had coffee, not a kiddush, let them go home and make their coffee. We have Meshugayim in this town who are having kiddushim. It's unbelievable. Go, everybody's well fed, and then take out the Sefer Torah and just read at least large block of material. That's what I would do. If someone said, Marshall, they're going to follow the Mishnah Berurah, I'm not going to say you're not Aryan for doing so, but I think the correct position, and I think that's what Rav Schechter wrote, is that we miss Kriyas HaTorah, we make it up. The Minhag Yisrael is to try to complete the reading of the Sefer Torah, in the annual cycle.
Okay. I mean, to be clear,
it's like this year, and you end up being a partial off. Do you have to make that up?
We always do. We do it normally. This is the year, the only time we join Chukas Balak. The only time we join Chukas Balak is when Shuas comes out the way it did this year. Chukas Balak is not joined or separated based upon the leap year at all. It only in Chutz Laretz do we join them in a year that Shavuos came out on Shabbos, Friday Shabbos. So we lost the Shabbos that they didn't. And in order to get Dvarim to be right before Tisha B'Av, we need to join Chukas Balak. But that's nothing to do with our particular circumstance. Okay. All right. So anyway, let's come back to our Tosfos. So the first Tosfos' first answer was it has to do with whether you're speaking quietly or loudly. Then the Rif quotes the Bahalachas Gedolos, is it depends whether there are 10 other people who are part of the Kriya Satora beside you, or you're necessary as one of the 10. Then he says, V'od tire to alfasi, shani rav shesha satarasa umnasahu. No, Rav Sheshes is the exception to the rule. You can't bring a proof from Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes, this is what he did. He learned all day and all night when he wasn't sleeping. So for someone like that, he's not mechuyev to interrupt his learning for Kriya Satora. He davens, but he continues learning what he learned when the rest of the tzibur is listening to the Kriya Satora. Because what was the purpose of Kriya Satora? The purpose of Kriya Satora was Talmud Torah Barabim, was to teach the community Torah. The original Kriya Satora that the Torah presents, there's one case, I know we say that if people want to know, when is Kriya Satora D'oraisa? So the Mechaber will say in Shulchan Aruch, Parsha Zohar. Okay, maybe Parsha Zohar, maybe you don't really have to read Kriya Satora, you could just read the Parsha, you could just speak of the Inyan and talk about what Amalek did. But there's one Kriya Satora that is definitely D'oraisa, because it says so in the Pasuk, in the Torah, that's the Mitzvah Hakel. So every Shemitah year, Sukkot time, Chol HaMoed, the Melech would read chunks of Sefer Dvarim. That's the Kriya Satora's D'oraisa, and the Torah tells us why. Leman Yishmu'u, Leman Yomadu, V'yaruas Hashem Elokehem. Right? So the whole point of Kriya Satora is to teach the community Torah. People will study Torah. So Rav Sheshes was Torah Omnaso. It wasn't necessary for him to do that. He's learning all the time. It's appropriate for him to continue in what he happens to be learning.
Why do we say Lo Pulug in this mitzvah? Why Lo Pulug for this mitzvah? Why are we... Isn't that a bad modeling, though?
That's a separate question. The question of whether it's bad modeling is one thing. It's not a question of... It's not a gzeira. It's not a gzeira. Again, especially if you assume, and I granted that was the Bahag's teretz, but the last teretz might not dispute that it's not a yochid's obligation, so it might be more efficient than appropriate, and that for the person who's a gadol who learns Yom Valayla, maybe he should continue his learning. Maybe that's more beneficial for everybody. So the question in terms of modeling, so if, you know, it's a kind of interesting thing. I think that... I know Rav Schechter has said on many times, he said, Rabbanim should not be learning during Kriya Satora. No matter, even if you, there's a certain teretz that you could hold up within this machlokes, you know, that would be permissible. He said, you have to be a role model for your balabatim. So that's what Rav Schechter always likes to say. And it's true for the most part. The question is, sometimes there are circumstances where it might not be the rabbi of the shul, but if the gadol adar happens to daven in a particular shul, and he has gemaras open the entire time. So most people should have the seichel to say, I'm not him. I'm not deluding myself. He's sitting and learning Torah. He's not uttering a word. That's not my excuse to talk. You know, okay, it could be. It could be that Bisman Hazeh, maybe even someone who's Torah Som Nasa would be a bad role model. Maybe our ethos would lead people to say, well, if he can learn Gemara, I can talk about the Yankees and the Knicks. I don't know. But anyway, that is what the Rif says. And Tosa says, Vanam Mistaber, Tosa says, this is the teretz that seems most plausible to us. Now, the interesting thing is, one of the Tosas doesn't say why, but I think the reason why Tosas believes that is because if you were to look, I'm going to share with you my screen one more time. One second, I got to do the share button. Where are we? There's my Bar Ilan. It disappeared. Hold on. Let me see if I can find my Bar Ilan in Zoom. There we go. Okay, I'm going to take us to Rabbeinu Yonah, and then I'm going to look at the riff for a second. And the riff here says the following. You can see as I'm scrolling. Okay, and the riff says here, it says, after quoting the Gemara, V'amur Rabbanon, Dafka Rav Sheshes de Torasa Umnaso, Ava Lahoros La'adam Sheshoa Lafisha Ulafarish Davar Osar. Why? So I'll explain that line in a second, but the Ha Amar Rabba Baravuna Kevin Shniftach Torah Osur Lasapra Filud Dvar Halacha. So the fact that the Rif here only quotes one reason, only one teretz, which is the Torah Som Naso, is probably why Tosfos prefers this. And as it would be, apparently, it's what the Rif held was the correct reason. Note what the Rif says here, by the way: Lahoros LaAdam Sheshoa LaFisha O LaFarish Davar Osir. So the Rif says, even to Paskin Hashayma, or to explain something in Torah, is Osir. And only a person who is learning on his own and is Turaso Naso, that is the only person who is permitted to learn during Kriyas HaTorah according to the Rif. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing for a moment. So where that leaves us now then is that this is a heter to learn during Kriyas HaTorah that essentially Bisman Hazeh applies to virtually nobody. There might be a few people who basically learn all the time, that's all they do, but that would be true for almost nobody. I rest assure you, there's no pulpit rabbi who it applies to, and it's probably almost, well, I don't know. At least in my institution, I don't think there's a single Rosh Hashiva it applies to either. All of us have things that pull us away from learning Torah that we have to do. I don't know if we qualify as Torah Sa'um Nasa. Not sure, but in other words, we do things beyond just teaching and learning Torah. So anyway.
Rabbi Levy?
Yes.
Sorry for sounding like a broken record, but are there any other activities where there's an exemption because of the person's status?
You mean because of Torah Sa'um Nasa?
Or
yeah, the answer is yes.
Or
yes, yes. Misha Toraso Naso is Pater from Tfila. He's Chayiv in Kriyashma, but he's Pater in Tfila. I think Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai used to daven once a month. So the answer is yes. We do have such a Pater, and in the context of Beis HaKnesses or Tfila related issues. Kriyashma, you have to be Mafsik for. Only, and the only time you Pater from Kriyashma is if he's Osek B'Tzorchei Tzibur at the time. But Tfila, Misha Tarasa Umnaso only is Pater from Tfila. Okay. So,
excuse me, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
This is discussing the status of the person who is okay to turn his back and study while everyone else is doing the Kriya. But it's also then implying that his study supersedes the importance of hearing the Kriya HaTorah.
Right. So I think that the two pieces to that. One is that they're both forms of Kriyas HaTorah, but they're both forms of Talmud Torah, but the Kriyas HaTorah is not an obligation upon him specifically. So that's piece A. And piece B, one might argue, I mean, we have this question, which is the Ikar of Torah, Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebal Peh? And Rabbinic Judaism, the Gemara in Gittin says that the Ikar Krisas Bris, the primary covenant between the Jewish people and God is over Torah Shebaal Peh. You know, there is a Gemara in Chagiga. It's a difficult Gemara. It might trouble us some, but the Gemara says it's prohibited to teach a non-Jew Torah. Magid dvarav li'akov, chukav u'mishpatav li'Yisrael. Lo asachein l'chogoy, u'mishpatim ba'yida'um. That's what the Gemara Chagiga says. It's a Gemara on its own, by the way, that you look at it, it sounds like it's quasi-agadic, quasi-halachic. You're not quite sure. But I don't know if the Rambam quotes it, but some Achronim or some Poskim do quote it, Isser. But I believe we say that it only applies to Torah Shebaal Peh, not to Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is written down, and he wants to come and read it. Now our Torah Shebaal Peh is written down. That's a very interesting topic in its own right. But in principle, our Torah Shebaal Peh is our secret. It belongs to us. So Chazal certainly, not surprisingly, Rabbinic Judaism, believe that the Ikar is Torah Shebaal Peh. So given a choice in learning Mikra and Mishnah, obviously it shouldn't be either or. A person needs to know both, but there is certainly a preference for Torah Shebaal Peh as opposed to Torah Shebichsav.
Rabbi Leader, could we see in the Rabbi's Drasha acknowledging that Torah Shebaal Peh also should be, right after following after Torah Shebichsav, the Kriya, you immediately have the Rabbi's Drasha as a kind of Torah Shebaal Peh activity?
I'm pretty sure that is not the origin of the sermon at all. Historically speaking,
it's not the origin. It may still, without intending to, fill the purpose of
putting
Torah Shebaal Peh right after Torah Shebichsav.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to, it is certainly possible. It is certainly possible. But it could be that it now fills that role. Obviously, it didn't. Sermons in the middle of davening are, you know, I'll say this only tongue in cheek, which Rabbi Lichtenstein present. It might be Chukos Hagoyim, but nonetheless.
I want to vote for Sam Goldring.
Okay. Historically speaking, Sam, if I understand, in Europe, in Eastern Europe, the rabbi gave a drasha twice a year, Shabbos Hagadol and
Shabbos
Shuva. In the time of Chazal, they used to give a drasha, but it was in the afternoon. It wasn't connected to davening. It was the Pirka. And so that was what was historically the having the sermon in the midst of tefillah was sort of probably came originally from Christianity into Reform Judaism into Orthodox Judaism. So it fills a very important role now, but nonetheless, and you could see it that way. But I was just suggesting it's not, at least its original function. Okay, now this is not the end of the story. However, if you take a look. I'm gonna share you with Rabbeinu. Not all of you have Rabbeinu Yonah, so let me share again. I want to take a look at what Rabbeinu Yonah has to say on this. And here we go. And Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary on that riff, says the following. The bottom paragraph on the screen, Rav Sheshes Hava Mahadar Ape Vigaris. He turned around and he learned. Kosav Arifzal B'Shem HaGaonim. The Rif writes in the name of the Gaonim, only Rav Sheshes, because Torah was his profession. You can't talk or teach anybody else anything. But then he says something very interesting. And I believe Tosfos in Sota, the Gemara we looked at, says the same thing. The Eastim Eforshim, the Davka Rav Sheshes, Hoya Mutter, Mepnei Shehoya Sagi Nahar. Rav Sheshes was blind. He wasn't obligated in Kriyas HaTorah. Why? If something is Torah Shebichsav, you're not allowed to say the Alpeh. Now, this is a whole topic in its own right. When are you? Am I not allowed to say Shema when I daven? Am I not allowed to recite Psukim? I'm teaching Torah, and I need to quote you a pasuk from Malachi. Am I allowed to quote it or not? So it doesn't apply under all circumstances. Let's assume for the moment that one of the times that you can't do it is when you're being motzi other people in obligation. So let's say Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaMegillah, you cannot do it alpeh. So if that's the case, the way Kriyas HaTorah is done originally, at least, a blind person could not get an aliyah because they can't read from the Sefer Torah to perform the mitzvah of the Rabban, let me put it that way. And therefore, since Rav Sheshes was pater, it wasn't a problem for him to learn Toshib Al Peh, to learn on his own, because it wasn't really Shayach, he Kriyas HaTorah to him. He wasn't really part of the Tzibur in that respect. But anybody else who wasn't in Rav Sheshes' position, so then, Aval Adam Acher, Noah, who was a seeing person, V'chayeh B'Kriyas HaTorah, Aso L'Saper. V'afilu Shetarasom Naso. Even had it been, let's say, Rava or Rabaye, who were not blind, but they were Tarasom Nasom, so they would not have been allowed to learn during Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, so that is a sort of a fourth approach to dealing with the issue, which in effect narrows the exemption even further. It's basically only someone who's blind. Rav Sheshes, I probably mentioned, was, I think, well known for being blind. I would point to two Gemaras to draw your attention to this. The two famous Amoraim, by the way, who were blind, I don't know if any of you know. One was Rav Sheshes. Anybody know who the other one was? But his contemporary, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef was the one, the Gemara has a machlokes in Bava Kama in the 8th Perek and elsewhere, whether a blind person mid the Oraisa is chayiv in mitzvahs or pata from mitzvahs. It's based upon, starts with the prohibition of ritzicha b'shogeg, killing by accident, because the Torah says below ra'os, he didn't see when he accidentally killed someone, and a blind person can never see. So based upon that, the Gemara has a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, whether a blind person is pata or chayiv in mitzvahs min ha-Torah. And Rabbi Yosef says the following. There are two views, whether or not it's better to be commanded and obligated to do a mitzvah and do it, or whether it's better, there's more schar, more reward, if you're not obligated and you do it. So Rabbi Yosef said that originally when I thought that it's better if you're volunteering a mitzvah, there's greater schar because you're not obligated, but you do it anyway. Gadol she'eino mitzvah v'oseh. So he said, anybody who would tell me that the halacha was like whichever Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, that a blind person is pater mitzvahs min haTorah, I would make a yom tov l'rabbanon because I'm exempt from mitzvahs and I do them anyway. But now that I heard Rabbi Hanina's statement that gadol ha-mitzuha ve'oseh mimisha eina mitzuha oseh, that one who's obligated and does it is greater than one who's not obligated. So whoever tells me that a suma is obligated, a blind person is obligated min haTorah mitzvahs, I would make a yom tov l'rabbanon. Which, by the way, even though it doesn't make sense, some say that's the source for making a sudas mitzvah for a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah, because you become obligated in a mitzvah and you make a party. So anyway, Rav Yosef was blind, and Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef, I believe, are mentioned in the last parak of Psachim that they would be patur from mitzvos, and they could not, if the mitzvah of magid bisman hazeh, of reading the Haggadah and matzah, if it is mid'oraisa bisman hazeh, they would not have been able to be motzi the members of their household in the mitzvah. They wouldn't be able to read the Haggadah for them, unless the Haggadah and matzah bisman hazeh happens to be the Rabbanon as well. That's one place. The other thing I'd like to point about Rav Chisda, about Rav Sheshes, is that one of his contemporaries was Rav Chisda. And the Gemara in Eruvin says that each one would be petrified when they would run into one another. Rav Sheshes is petrified of Rav Chisda because Rav Chisda was such a tremendous Baal Svara. He was so sharp that, you know, he was afraid he'd ask him things he wouldn't be able to answer, explain, or understand. And Rav Chisda was terrified of Rav Sheshes because Rav Sheshes knew all the Mishnayos and Braisa so well, and he was afraid Rav Chisda would say a Svara and Rav Sheshes would say very nice, but it's against the Braisa, it's against the Mishnah. And I think one of the reasons Rav Chisda was like that, it's not the only case we see this in the Gemara, people who were blind often had very, very strong, you know, oral memorization skills. You find very often in the Gemara that you have Tanoim who were blind. When I say Tanoim, I don't mean rabbinic sages. I mean the people whose job was to recite the memorized brisos. So Rav Sheshes is well known as a Sagi Nahar. He was blind. So therefore, it's says Rabbeinu Yonah and Tosus and Sota as well. That's why he was learning then, because he was actually blind and not obligated on Kriyas HaTorah. But anybody else would be obligated in Kriyas HaTorah, would have to listen. No, yes. Somebody going to say something? Note, by the way, that this interpretation sounds to be against the Ramban. It sounds like there is a Yochid's obligation in Kriyas HaTorah. Right? It's only Rav Sheshes, because he's potter definitionally from Kriyas HaTorah, so therefore he's allowed to be doing other things. But anybody else is obligated to listen to Kriyas HaTorah because he's chayv in Kriyas HaTorah. Okay.
Rabbi Weider?
Yes.
So the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah in public, is there a mitzvah to hear the... to read the Torah or to hear the Torah or both?
So I think in this particular context, it's probably, I would say, I don't think it's Shomea Ka'ona. Even if you don't hold like the Ramban, that mitzvah, that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaTzibor, I still think that it's a mitzvah upon a Yochid to hear the Torah read in the Tzibor.
He's not deaf, let him be responsible for what he could hear.
No, but I think the assumption is that if you can't be part of the Kriyas HaTorah, if you couldn't actually read yourself, then it's not shayach to you.
But it could be part of the hearing of the Torah.
I think that if you're not, in other words, I think that it's, let's take like Kia Shofar, right? The mitzvah is to hear the Shofar.
Shmoa.
The Shmoa Kol Shofar. But the Tokea has to be a Baruch Yuvah. Well, we don't say that someone who's not chayev, a katan, is blowing the shofar. I'm hearing the Kriyas HaTorah. So even if the obligation is to hear, it's tied in some way to the act of actually producing the sound or producing the kriya. And if a person is not shayach to producing the sound or producing the kriya, if they're not chayev in that, so then there may not be an obligation. I think that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is assuming. There's no obligation to hear it either. Your ha'orah is not a bad one. If it were purely a mitzvah of hearing it, a blind person would be chayav. But I even
about Megillah, know, Megillah reading, Megillas Esther.
So I think that Megillas Esther is al mikra Megillah. It really is a chova upon the yachid. And when you hear someone read the Megillah, it's shomea ka'ona. Because when he's saying it and you're listening, that's like the idea that it's as if I'm repeating word for word, even though I don't repeat it. I don't think that's the case by Kriyas HaTorah, but nonetheless, the kriya has to be done by someone who's chayav in kriya. And you have to hear, just like you have to hear, a Baruch Yuva blow shofar, but the obligation is not for you to blow shofar, but it's to hear the Kriya shofar. It's your obligation to hear the Kriyas HaTorah from a Koreh who's Chayiv. And since a blind person can't do the Kriya, he's not Chayiv either to hear it. Okay. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah adds one note at the end, and he says the following. V'nira lemori harav natarachmano parke. It would appear to my teacher, may God guard him and redeem him. He's talking about Rabbeinu Yonah. She'in kodem shenifach sefer Torah, chozer panav umara atzmo she'ena rotza lishmoa sefer Torah, ela likro. So before the sefer Torah is open, a person turns around and shows himself that he doesn't want to listen to the Kriyas HaTorah. but rather he wants to do his own learning. Umaschil likro, mutter, it's permitted, va'afilu l'chol adam, for any person. Why? V'chevan shekvar hischil b'mitzvah mitchila, he already started performing the mitzvah, v'ra'u oso, anshei beis ha'kneses, shekova atzmo likro, they see that he has basically, he's learning. It's like, imagine the following. You walk into shul, there's a guy sitting steeped, or a woman sitting there steeped, learning Gemara. And then you start davening, and you say Baruch Hu, and you say Kriya Shema, and the person doesn't stop. So what you realize is the person's been learning the whole time. That's what they're doing before. They haven't interrupted. So he thinks that it's mutar, va'afilu l'chaladam. That's pretty amazing. Again, since everybody sees, shekava atzma likro, eno posek ba, babur sefer Torah. He's learning one thing, he doesn't have to stop at the Sefer Torah, which is a different Talmud Torah. Aval in lo hischa mitchila. If he wasn't originally started, ein l'shum adam. Afilu misha tarasa umnaso l'saper l'shum inyan klal. So Rabbeinu Yonah is giving a fifth answer to the problem. Rabbeinu Yonah says no. Tarasa umnaso is not allowed to start learning during Kriyas HaTorah. Being silent doesn't help you. Having 10 other people there doesn't help you. Being blind doesn't help you. Maybe Sam, he assumes that even a blind person should hear Kriyas HaTorah. No. But if you start learning before, you start in a different activity of Talmud Torah before, and then you're continuing to learn it, you don't have to stop. The Die Kochi Milishna, Rabbeinu Yonah inferred this from the language of the Gemara, the Amar, Hava Mahadar Ape Begaris, that he turned around and learned. The Lama Hayetzarach Lahudienu. Why did he have to tell us Shahaya Choser Panav? What was the point of that? Elavadai Reish Lakish Shekodem Sheschidu Sefer Torah Hayamara Atzma Shalo Hayarotze Lishma Sefer Torah Likros Ulefikach Hayamutter Lo. He was permitted. Behuadin Shebekamoza Inyan Mutter L'Chaladam. He thinks it's not limited to Rosh Hashanah. It would apply to any person who started learning before Kriyas HaTorah, that person would not be obligated to stop. They would be permitted to do so. So this is the fifth teretz. Okay.
Rabbi, two questions. Can a blind man be counted towards a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah?
So the answer to that question, I don't know. I suspect, yes. One thing I didn't say, I believe that in Shulchan Aruch, and might say already, the Achronim say that once we have a Chazan HaKore about Kriya, so we are Mekel, some are Mekel. I don't know if everybody agrees. I haven't looked at the halacha, but some are Mekel to allow a blind person to read. And not to get Aliyah, not to read. Now, it's problematic because even the Ola is supposed to read along with the Baal Kriya. Okay. Now, what
And
I
what about, how does this apply to Chazar Shatz in terms of learning during Chazar Shatz?
I don't think that this issue is relevant at all. I think you're not allowed to, I don't know that anybody says you're allowed to learn during Chazar Shatz. I don't think so.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. I have to, let me not answer that question. That's where Shecht always says it about Chazar Shatz. He says the rabbi shouldn't learn the Chazar Shatz because the Baal Batim said he's doing his thing. I'll do my thing. Now, the second thing, with regards to a blind person, someone mentioned to me recently that I think it was Rostermach who was making, who said that if you have a minion, as opposed to having the Baal Kriya get every aliyah and make all the brachos, he said that just like a blind person doesn't, we let a blind person have an aliyah, even though we can't read the Torah. He said, by that token, anybody who's getting aliyah under these circumstances doesn't have to come up to the Torah. So the person who's getting the bracha can make the bracha from his seat, and the Baal Kore reads. I someone told me that Rosh Hechter was not so keen on that, but I don't want to, I have to see that, or I have to ask him to know if that's true. Yeah. But I
Rabbi
only
Weider,
that because he's assuming, Sternbach is assuming that we would give a blind person aliyah. Now
yeah,
that
hold on. That's hugely important. The thing you just elided over very quickly, it's about to be super duper halacha l'maisa. Can we just pause that for 1 second? We're all trying to figure out how to safely do minyanim. So if you're saying, and this is, I think, worth checking because it's going to matter to quite a few of us, that you can actually have an aliyah from your seat or, in your case, your square on the driveway, is that something that you would mind terribly chasing down La Halacha and letting us know? Because
I'm happy to do that. I believe that, again, I don't know. I don't know if I read this in the Tshuva. I know what the RCBC Pesach was, and I assume it was based upon Rav Schechter. He doesn't buy that, and rather believes that the Baal Kore should just get all the brachas. But I can try to track that down. And I'm sure the person, one of my students who's quoted to me, I'm sure that is probably an accurate citation. The question is whether our post-conf think it's correct.
But that's the answer. If the answer is that it's already out there, and the dominant post-conf say that the Baal Kore should just do whatever brachas he's leaning for, then that's the answer, I guess.
So I will look, but I know that was the RCBC said when they first when we first opened up a couple of weeks ago, that if you have a Sefer Shul, we're not lending Sefer Torah, but if you have a Sefer Torah and you're reading the Baal Kriya, he gets all the Aliyos, he does Hagba, you do it Sephardi style, so you do Hagba, you put it back down on the Shulchan, he rolls it up, he puts it away. You know, I hygienically at this point, I think that may be less of a concern. They may not think, maybe that's not the real problematic root transmission, but that's the policy. So it's not...
Do you make all seven aliyot, or just one at the beginning and the end?
All seven. In fact, someone asked me, and it's not crazy to think about going back to pre-Takana, but I think we're not going to do that. The original Takana was that the first person got the bracha before, the first aliyah made the bracha before, and the last ola made the bracha afterwards, and the five people between didn't. But if you were to do it that way, what you have to do is the Baal Kriya has to sit down in between every aliyah, because that's the only way to make hafsaka. There is a Tosefta in Megillah that says, and I suspect it's quoted in the Gemara Megillah, that says that if there's only one person who knows how to read, and this is when they only made two brachos, the person is omeid v'korei v'yoshev, v'omeid v'korei v'yoshev, etc. In other words, he would get up, go to the Sefer Torah, read the aliyah, first aliyah make the bracha, then he would go sit down, and then he would get up again, because that was to mark that this was normally a new person comes in and starts reading. So then you understand it's Shiva Kruim. But since it's one person doing the Kriya, in order to make it Shiva Kruim, you need to do that. I forget who wrote, one of the Bishonim talks about that if you have to do this Bisman Azeh, meaning once the Chachamim made a Takana, they don't mean now, but once the Chachamim made a Takana, that every person makes brachos, every Ola makes brachos, the person, the Baal Kriya, who's getting all seven aliyos, by making the bracha in between and the next bracha before, that is breaking up the aliyos. So I will, Blin Eder, look into it. I will try to look into today or tomorrow, and I will send, I'm happy to, I don't know what the best way to share a response is. I didn't see, is Lenny here?
No, he's in Maine.
Okay, so I'm not sure the best way to disseminate it, but next I will, week. Marshall, I can certainly send to you, and anybody who else wants can email me and ask if it's halacha lemaisa, if you have a Sefer Torah and you need to know what to do. But if you don't hear from me, you should assume that the Baal Kriya gets all seven aliyos, and he reads everything and so on.
Are you having Kriya Satara at your minion?
We don't have a Sefer Torah. So I mentioned earlier, I think maybe it was before Shir, we're doing Rambam-style Kriya Satara, but not without brachos. If the Rambam were here and we're postulating for the minion, we would read from a Chumash, and we would make seven aliyos. The Rambam in the Tshuva, who says, Apostle Sefer Torah, even Baal Peh, you read the parasha, you break it up into seven, and you make brachos, even though it's Baal Peh. Because he says, Kriya Satorah and Ksiva Sefer Torah are two totally separate in Yanim. So we're doing the Rambam style, but without brachos. So, okay. But if we get a Sefer Torah, then that's what we'll be doing. We're working on it. Okay. Fine. I want to just take a moment now. And the beauty of Bar Ilan is to go to the Shulchan Aruch here and see how the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes this. And if you give me one moment. And just to show you how the easiest way to go to the Shulchan Aruch, I'm now going to you can see my Bar Ilan. I'm going to our Gemara. And then they're kind enough to here to highlight on the green in our course references. This is the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah of the Bar Ilan. And I go to the Shulchan Aruch here. And the Shulchan Aruch says the following. I gotta get there. Kevan shehischel akorei likros b'sefer Torah, osir l'saper afilu b'divrei Torah, and afilu ben gavra l'gavra. You're not allowed to talk even between aliyos. V'afilu hishlemu aparsha. Even if you finish the parsha, meaning I assume means you did shnei mechot targum. But v'yesh matirim ligros b'lachash. Those who allow learning silently. That was Tosus's first answer. V'yesh omim Shem Yesh Yud Ditzaisi, who are listening, L'Sefer Torah, Moto L'Saper, the Ramah Edzim B'Divrei Torah, then if that's the Bahag Shita, V'Yesh Matirin Mi Sheh Torasa Umnasa. And this is the mainstream answer, the Rif, and what Tosus prefers, that only Torasa Umnasa. And then, V'Yesh Matirin L'Mi Sheh Kodem Sheniftach Sefer Torah, Machsir Panav Umara Atzmo, She'ena Rotza L'Shmo Sefer Torah Likros, Umascha Likros. So that's Rabbeinu Yonah's opinion. He doesn't quote the opinion of Tamidi Rabbeinu Yonah about a blind person. Then the Likvo Shnayim Mikra Viecha Targum Bishas Kriya Satorah Shari. If you want to read Shnayim Mikra during the Kriya Satorah, it's permitted. But the Mechaber says V'cholze Eino Inyan LeParsha Zacha or Parshas Para Shehim Basara Midaraisa. Para is a little more controversial, but are those Rishonim? There's a Tosfos Rush at the end of our Perek. Our Tosos on the page at the end of our parak says Parsha Zachar, but I believe there's a Tosos Arash who says Parsha Zachar and Parsha Parah might be the Raisa. So that the Mechaber says Shetzarech Lachavein LeShomam MePi HaKore. But his conclusion is the Hanachon Shebechol Parshios Roy LeMidaktek Bidvarav Lachavein Dato uLeShomam MePi HaKore. The proper thing to do is to pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, not to be doing other things. Now, I wanted to just share. So the Shulchan Aruch here has quoted multiple, four opinions, and he thinks that the proper thing basically is to not learn at all. It doesn't matter whether or not you're learning silently. It doesn't matter whether, even if there are 10 people listening, doesn't matter if you're a person who's Taraso Naso, doesn't matter if you started learning before. The proper thing is to pay attention. That might not be true Ben Gavra LeGavra. Presumably Ben Gavra LeGavra, we would be more lenient to learn. I just want, however, to draw your attention to one passage. I don't know if it's here, though. In the Bir Halacha, may not be here. About talking, I'm trying to find it, about talking during Ben Gavra LeGavra. So why are you not allowed to talk Ben Gavra LeGavra? So the Beis Yosef writes that he thinks you can't talk Ben Gavra LeGavra because people will start talking Ben Gavra LeGavra, and then when they're done talking, then when the Aliyah starts, they're going to keep going anyway. They'll keep talking while the Balkore is reading.
Because they don't want to be mafsik.
That's right. They're excellent. So I can't find it right now, but the Bir Halach, we would be happy. We would not be happy. It's not appropriate to talk Ben Gavra LeGavra. But he goes on screaming about people who basically talk throughout Kriyas HaTorah as an incredible bizarre and almost a chilul Hashem. And that's in effect what it's really about. The Sefer Torah, imagine the Sefer Torah is open, the Word of God is being read, and people are just busy schmoozing. So anyway, the Shulchan Aruch does say you're not allowed to talk Ben Gavra LeGavra. And as we know quite well, what often happens is when people talk Ben Gavra LeGavra, they talk during the Kriyas HaTorah as well.
Rabbi Weider, so yeah. How did the custom of making Mishaberach take place between the Aliyos if you're not supposed to be doing anything but laning?
You asked me. I said earlier I would do away with the Mishaberachs.
No, but how did it happen? How did it occur?
I don't know. It's a good question. It's obviously Minog Yisrael because you assume it's from the Indian of the Kriyas HaTorah, right? I mean, I suspect, by the way, I don't know this for sure, that Mishaberachs probably originally began only for schnuttering. That's my guess. And eventually, I don't know, but my guess is why would anybody do such a thing? Why would he bother making Mishaberach except for somebody who was going to pledge something? And at some point, you know, we lost that. Not everybody wants to pledge. So we just make a Mishaberach and then we make another one if you're going to give money. But I don't know how long these Mishaberachs as a standard thing go back. But if it were up to me, Sam, I said already, I would do away with it. You want less talking? Don't provide the opportunities. If you go from Baruch Atah Hashem Nosein HaTorah to Baruch Hu, then you're likely to have almost no talking. I will say, by the way, also, even though there's a tshuva of the Rambam about this, I wouldn't do this, but I have to say, having experienced the davening I've experienced over the last week and a half, there's a famous tshuva of the Rambam where he was manhig them to do Heche Kedusha all the time. And the reason he did that was because everybody knew how to daven on their own, and everybody be talking during Chazar Shashat. So the Rambam felt it was better just to do a Hecha Kedusha. And nobody's talking in Armenian because of the distance between them. But I realized that if instead of having Chazar Shashat, because pretty much everybody today does know how to daven. They have a sitter if they don't. So if you do a Hecha Kedusha, you don't have all this time and downtime where people start talking. So if you eliminated the Chazaras HaShatz and you just did a Hecha Kedusha, and you didn't have any gaps talking between the Aliyos, you would take off 15 minutes from davening, which would make everybody happy, and then you would probably reduce enormously the talking during davening, which would make some of us very happy, and that would be a win-win. But I wouldn't push to do it for Chazaras HaShatz, but I would still push to do it for Misha Beres. I know it's not going to happen anywhere, but nonetheless, it's a good question. Why do we do Misha Beres? Presumably because it's somehow connected to Kriyas
HaTorah. I don't want to mislead you, Rabbi Weider. I don't want to, because there actually is some value in people. It may not be the best Kriyas HaTorah, but people talking to each other, assuming they're not speaking Lashon Hara, it's a bonding activity. It's a activity. If they don't go to Kiddush, they don't go to any value in not just bonding to God, but bonding to other people around you.
Sam, I agree fully. That's why we have a Kiddush. That's why KJ has a Kiddush afterwards. But talking, I think that we're not, it's not new. Talking and davening is not a new problem. Talking and Kriyas Torah is not a new problem. But when you step back and you look at it, imagine an outsider looking in where they're reading from the Torah, right? And then you walk in, they're reading from their holiest object, the Word of God, and then there are people conversing. It really is a profound disrespect to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So yes, it's good for people to, we all understand that more than ever before, you know, during COVID-19, the importance of social relations, but we have a Kiddush after davening. But when God's word is being, if the president of the United States came in and were giving a speech, nobody talks during the speech. So God's word is being read in the tzibur and people talk. It's astounding.
Jews like Torah Shabbat Peh. Jews like Torah Shabbat Peh. They don't want to talk to the sound.
Okay. Anyway.
A shiur that where people could interact, everyone would be a rapt attention.
I hope, Sam, that at Maimed Har Sinai, I hope that there was no talking.
That was only once. That was only once. That was only once, thank goodness.
Yes, but Kriyas HaTorah is a reenactment of Maimed Har Sinai. That's a point. It's a theme that's been pointed out.
You're trying to silence me.
Okay. Anyway, we're gonna stop here, and next week, we will, God willing, resume with Shnei Mikrovecha Targum, which is really going to be Chazara, because I think, was it this year? It's hard to believe. It might have been the beginning of this.
Yes, it was.
This year.
Cycle year that I was had the great pleasure of being with you in Shul and making Shnei Mikrovecha Targum a major centerpiece in it. So we will go over the halachos, hopefully not at great length, but at some length, God willing, next week. I hope everybody is doing well, continues to do well, be healthy and be safe. And if you are restarting Minyanim this week, please be extra careful. I will say, you know, there are people who have been very opposed to restarting Minyanim. One of my rabbeim, who I greatly respect, wrote a piece that Rav Schechter said was a mitzvah lefarsem, really being fundamentally against Minyanim because pikoch nefesh. And I just want to say that it's from a slightly different angle. From the perspective of the obligation of davening in the tzibur, if that's all it were, then okay, maybe why not be extra machmer pikuach nefesh? Even though I don't think it's, if done properly, I don't think it's pikuach nefesh. But I think that davening the tzibur, as we saw last week, it may not be a strict chovah, but it's part of our human experience. It's part of our social experience, Sam. It's part of building community. And so for me, not davening b'tzibur, no, I can daven b'yachid, but not to be connected to my tzibur, that's very difficult and painful. So it's not just about an obligation. Am I obligated to daven b'tzibur? Am I really potter? Can be hush override that? It's meeting basic human needs. And therefore, if it can be done safely, it's a very appropriate thing to restart. And being extra machmer and pikuach nefesh in one way does an extra kind of damage to humans, not halachic damage, but social, emotional damage to us by preventing us from coming together to daven b'tzibur in a way that is safe and appropriate. So if you are starting this week, you know, yishar kochachem, and do it carefully and safely, and should go well.
Yishar
kochacha.